The accounting mess at WorldCom grew even larger overnight as the company acknowledged an additional $3.3 billion in accounting irregularities. The bankrupt telecom giant had already acknowledged that it improperly accounted for $3.8 billion worth of operating expenses. And last night, the company said the problems in its books date back to 1999, not just to last year. NPR's Jim Zaroli joins us now from New York. Jim, these latest revelations involve WorldCom's reserve accounts. What exactly are reserve accounts, and what did the company do with them?
Well, as the name suggests, reserve accounts are money that companies set aside for contingencies. Let's say a company isn't sure that a bill is going to be paid, or maybe it thinks it's expecting a legal judgment against it. So it basically sets up a fund to cover that. This is very common. It happens all the time in corporate accounting. WorldCom said last night that it has learned that money was taken out of these funds and recalculated as revenue as a way to make its profits look higher. Now, if this is true, it would basically be a form of manipulating the company's books, mm-hmm. which would be securities fraud. The company also said that the men who were responsible for this were David Myers, the former controller, and Scott Sullivan, the former chief financial officer.
Myers and Sullivan have already been charged with fraud and conspiracy. So what does this do to the case against them?
I don't think it does much. The government could add some more charges onto those that the two men already face. The problem here is that reserve accounts are very subjective. The way they operate is very subjective. Companies don't always know how much money they need to set aside for something. Let's say they know there's going to be a legal judgment against them, but they don't know how big it will be. So they're constantly recalculating how big the reserves have to be, moving money in and out of them. To prove that these reserve accounts were used illegally, you have to show that the company had no legitimate reason to move money around at that particular time and that it set out to manipulate the books deliberately. In the case of Myers and Sullivan, that may just be more trouble than it's worth. They already have a lot of jail time facing them.
Mm-hmm. How about the impact of these revelations on the government's case against the company itself?
Well, I talked to several legal experts about that today. One thing that they said was this broadens out the case. Other people in the company may be implicated, and the government may try to get information from them. One of the people who may very well be affected is Bernie Ebbers, who is the former chief executive of WorldCom. He has not been charged with anything so far, but prosecutors would clearly like to go after him. Ebbers can reasonably claim that he didn't know anything about the previous set of accounting improprieties because they happened fairly recently and over a short period of time. But these latest irregularities were supposed to have happened as far back as 1999, as you pointed out. So it becomes harder for Ebbers to try to achieve plausible deniability.
Mm-hmm. What about WorldCom's declaration of bankruptcy and the future of the company itself? What will these new revelations mean there?
Well, WorldCom has been saying for a long time that it could survive and it can emerge from bankruptcy if it has enough time. It faces two problems. One is its vendors, people it buys goods and services from. They're demanding to be paid up front because they see how much trouble the company's in. WorldCom is also worried that its biggest customers may leave as their contracts expire. These revelations, they only hurt the company's credibility. They arguably add to the problems the company faces. The other thing is that, you know, we're learning that WorldCom's financial condition was just not as strong as we thought it was. Last night, it wrote down the value of its assets by $50 billion, which is just a staggering amount. Hmm. We also know some of its revenue was illusory. So that can't be very good news for the company's creditors.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
NPR's Jim Zaroli in New York.